Hello there, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore. Our producer and engineer is Bill Proposky. Tim Kearns is off tonight. Bill Newell, Tim, and Marty Smith, and me, we're all getting ready for football and getting ready for the fall sports season. High school sports will be gearing up on msonewsports.com. Well, that's it. That's the name of the new website, msonewsports.com. You can still, of course, get a hold of morestuffonline.com. That's still available. And we'll be happy to have you take a look over there. All the archives and on-demand audio and all that stuff is over there. All of our interviews and all of our programming is over there on morestuffonline.com. We'll probably continue to keep our on-demand over there, and we'll keep our long programming. We'll also have most of our new shows right here on msonewsports.com. So we hope that you'll pass the word along and let people know all about it. If you don't mind, we got football coming up very soon, and a full show here this evening on MSO as we sort of get back into it. I've been spending a lot of time getting the new site ready and making new contacts and getting new plans, all kinds of stuff get together as we approach the fall season. Looking forward to a lot of football games. Really happy to announce that Sylvan Street Grill is back sponsoring us this year. We're very, very happy about that, advertising with us. And Sylvan Street Grill will also be showing our Friday night football games on one of their big screen TVs. We are psyched about that, as we will be doing live audio streaming on most Friday nights, if not all Friday nights, and quite a few Saturdays as well. Now, take a look at, I can find my schedule here, just to let you know some of the games as we'll be starting off. We'll be covering primarily, of course, Northeast Conference football, but we'll be doing other leagues as well. And our opening game will be a little less than a month away now. A little less than a month. Today is the 10th. No, 1 month from tomorrow. On Friday, September 11th, Lynn Classical at Gloucester will be our first live video streaming game of the year. That'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff. And we'll also feature Beverly at Wakefield on Channel B, as the Panthers will be traveling over to Wakefield. New football coach, I understand. I didn't know that Mike Boyages had left. Didn't realize that. So our opening games on Friday the 11th will be Lynn Classical at Gloucester. That's the video game. Beverly at Wakefield, strictly on the radio. And on Saturday, we will be doing Lynn English at Swampscott. That will be both on radio and video. And then the following Friday, on the 18th of September, Beverly at Gloucester. That will be our video streaming game. Lynn English at St. Mary's and Swampscott at Lynn Classical, a doubleheader over on Channel B or Channel A. I would have to check to see which channels we're on for radio. But we'll have a doubleheader. Lynn English playing at St. Mary's, and Swampscott will be visiting Lynn Classical. And then on the 25th, it'll be Revere at Classical. That's the video game. And Beverly at Peabody. And that'll be a huge game, no doubt, as we do the first of, I believe, four Peabody football games. And then on Saturday, the 26th, another video game will feature Gloucester at Swampscott. So we're scheduling at least one video game per weekend. And on a couple of weekends, we'll try to do a second game as well. And, of course, that'll carry us right into the MIAA playoffs, which start on Halloween night. And no offense, but I hope we don't have to play in Salem. It's just impossible to get in and out of Salem. Actually, during the whole month of October, really, by car. You got to get there by public transportation. All right, so anyway, that's coming up. Just about a month from now. I keep saying less than a month, but it actually is 1 month away. Now, tonight, we will have Gary Larrabee will be returning. Gary is, of course, the feature golf writer for the Salem News. Gary is a sports historian, sports writer for a long time, and Gary will be with us in just a few minutes. Also going to check in with Marblehead's athletic director, Mark Tarmey. We talked with Mark, I believe, back during the winter season. Might have been early spring, and we'll catch up with Marblehead Sports for how they made out in spring sports, and then what Mark is planning and looking forward to as we approach the school year. Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times sports editor, I want to have him on again because he started a brand new series about the Gloucester new Hall of Fame inductees. I believe there are 10 of them, and he started with Rusty Tucker and Jay Pratt on Thursday and Friday of last week. So I want to recap that and get Nick's thoughts on the Hall of Fame class and other things going on as well. Rusty Tucker, by the way, leading Manchester Essex in the ITL. I guess they're one win away from the championship as they play Rowley. And then we'll talk with Wicked local sports writer Scott Cooper. Scott covering Marblehead and the Swampscott area. And Scott covered a very special event that he's going to talk to us about later on this evening. So that's all upcoming here on North Shore Sports Night. Please let us know your thoughts. You can email me at rick@msowebradio.com or msowebradio@gmail.com. Either one of those will get you through, and let me know your thoughts, complaints, comments, whatever you might have, suggestions. And again, don't forget we're going to be starting football very soon. We're going to have a lot more programming coming up, too, on msonewsports.com. msonewsports.com is the latest. It's our new website, and we're pretty pleased with how it's turning out. Kind of easy to manipulate, easy to maneuver, easy to look at, and not doing so well here with the buttons. But pretty cool. Anyway, all right, we'll be right back. Check in with Gary Larrabee in just a few minutes. This is North Shore Sports Night on msonewsports.com.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the entire North Shore for over 23 years. Hi, this is the owner, Kevin Harrington.
And I'm Marty Harrington, Kevin's son. We are a family-owned business supplying some of the highest quality academic and athletic awards, such as trophies, plaques, and medals, customized engraving, embroidery and silkscreen services for t-shirts, performance wear, jackets, sweatshirts, and more. Our premium quality corporate awards include plaques, clocks, crystal, acrylic, and glassware. For golf tournaments, we provide an assortment of gifts to offer from customized wind jackets, performance golf wear, umbrellas, cooler bags, and more. Check out our products online at harringtontrophy.com.
Our clients and friends throughout the North Shore are proud to award our quality products, and we at Harrington Trophy have prided ourselves in our personal, prompt, and exceptional customer service over the years. Ask for Kevin, Marty, or George. We are located in Lynn and serve the entire North Shore as we ship and deliver anywhere. Or check us out online at harringtontrophy.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Tufts.
Harvard,
Smith,
Boston College,
Olin,
Georgetown,
Berkeley,
Salem State University,
University of Massachusetts.
What is the common denominator?
St. Mary's in Lynn. Find your authentic self and attend your preferred option for college, all at St. Mary's.
A Catholic college preparatory school educating students in grades 6 through 12 from all North Shore communities.
Visit, explore, and apply today at stmaryslynn.com/champion.
Okay, we're back on the air now with Gary Larrabee, sports historian, sports writer, and feature sports writer in golf for the Salem News. And I promise we are not going to talk about Deflategate tonight. Gary, how are you?
Fantastic, Rick. The golf season has continued without interruption, and great to be back on the air with you.
I appreciate it. We got some catching up to do, and as I was explaining off the air, we've had a big learning curve this summer, and we've spent a lot of time getting a new website, getting new radio stuff, and trying to get this thing rolling. But, Gary, before we start, I know you've got a terrific agenda to take a look at here to get us caught up. But really, for the professional scene, even though Jason Spieth didn't win that third major, it has been the summer of Jason, has it not?
Jordan, I'm sorry. Yeah, name of the year so far in professional golf. And, of course, this week is the fourth and final major, the PGA Championship at Whistling Straits out on the shores of Lake... know if it's Lake Superior or which lake it is, but it's one of our four great lakes, Rick, right outside Milwaukee, and this will be his last chance to make even bigger history by winning three of the four majors in the calendar year. So it's about Jordan Spieth this week, and Tiger is back in the mix, although he has not been doing too much with ability he has left. So it's really all about Jordan Spieth. Rory McIlroy will be back this week after missing the British Open, where he was the defending champ. He's also the defending champ, as you know, at Whistling Straits. And we have a local player in the field, Dan Venizio from Myopia Hunt Club, an eighth year assistant pro there, is in the field after qualifying with a top 20 finish at the National Professional, which is the same as the Club Pro Championship down in Philadelphia about 5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan's in the field, and it gives us a lot more to look forward to, starting Thursday, finishing up Sunday on CBS, and let's see how it all unfolds.
Well, it's been an amazing summer, and I watched. I love watching the majors and the British Open in particular, especially when it's at St. Andrews. And the weather and the challenges, sometimes golf is not a sport for sissies.
No, it's not. And when the weather turns, they often have to be out there competing. And haven't seen the extended forecast for this week, but you can expect something different and unique, although the conditions weren't that bad, despite one very bad day at St. Andrews. You know, they're on the lake, they're up right up against the, it's like an ocean, those Great Lakes
yeah.
Bars. So we'll see what the weather does to shake things up at Whistling Straits starting Thursday.
All right, well, catch us up. By the way, I've seen your features in the Salem News every Friday. And they've been terrific, and you are getting that information out there. So we'll check what you got planned for this weekend later on. But what's happening on the local scene, or at least in this part of the country?
Well, let's get right to the up to the minute news, and that's today. The Mass Golf Association had three qualifying rounds for the state mid amateur coming up a little bit later down the road, and we had three fellas qualify at two different sites. None of our boys qualified at Cranberry Valley. We had two qualifiers at President's Golf Club in Quincy, Tim Giannakos from Black Swan and Wayne Petty from Tedesco. Both finished tied for the last spot, shooting 75, so they're in. And at Braber and Bob Schmeck from Beverly also made the grade at the end of the scoring list with an 82, but he's in the field, and that's all that counts.
You got that right. You know what? Somebody once told me, "Hey, if you're the last player if you're the 25th player on the worst team in Major League Baseball, you're still a major leaguer."
Exactly. So good for them. There'll be some more qualifiers coming up next week, or later this week and next week, and we'll keep an eye on those. But congratulations to those three guys for getting that far.
Absolutely, and. Weather-wise, things have gone right along here in eastern Massachusetts all summer long, and there hasn't been any weather issues with the golf tournaments, has there?
Not really, except one real major issue was not actually tournament-wise, but because last Tuesday we had a pretty nasty day around here, and particularly in Peabody and Linfield with a microburst, and Salem Country Club lost about 40 gigantic trees.
Hmm.
Due to that microburst, the course was closed Tuesday. They reopened Wednesday at noontime, and we care about Salem because they're going to be the venue for the 2017 U.S. Senior Open, and thankfully they cut down a lot of trees in a specifically designed program last fall this spring, and because those trees were removed before this microburst, there's some belief over at the club, supported that those trees that were cut down last fall and the spring may have prevented some trees from damaging the greens last week. No damage on the greens. And speaking of the Salem Country Club greens, they are going to be doing a restoration project on the greens this fall that had been discussed and finally finalized, coincidentally in tune with getting ready for the Senior Open. But that's the other big news out of Salem these days.
Yeah, and we got caught in those. It wasn't a microburst up here. It was a couple of squalls that were out of this world during that weather. But, you know, speaking of seniors, Gary, I look at the email that you sent us with your agenda and a terrific story of a couple of our senior golfers.
But in particular, Kirk Hannafeld, formerly from Beverly and a longtime head pro and director of golf at Salem, won the New England PGA Seniors going away last week up at Woodstock, shooting a 7-under par, went 33 for the 36 holes. That's $2,000 went into the wallet of the 59-year-old Hannafeld. No spring chicken. The seniors are 50 and older. And a great showing by Kirk, and we'll see how that plays into his ability to contend again next week when we have the New England PGA Championship being held Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at Concord Country Club and across town in good old historic Concord at Neshota Country Club.
Well, 59 is a little younger compared to some of the other guys you've got on here.
Indeed. The Essex Invitation Four Ball, they celebrated their 100th anniversary Four Ball this past weekend, the 96th annual Four Ball overall, and they were not the winners of the championship. That was Jeff Scuteri and J.J. Malia. But the star of the week was 83-year-old Jerry Dackert and 72-year-old John Olson. Olson is the prominent local architect. They went to the quarterfinals. It's all match play, Rick. 64 teams. They got to the final eight, winning the first three matches before they were disposed of by a one-down margin.
Wow.
In the semifinals on Saturday morning, but rather impressive for a chap, 83 years old. This is all walking, no cart,
yep.
All caddies, and they walked more than a mile those few days and had a great showing. And it reminds us old-timers that if we can stay in half-decent shape, we can keep our game in shape, too.
Well, and you got to have the game in the first place. You got to be athletic, and you got to have the hand-eye coordination. And to maintain it, you know, it's a testament, obviously, to their good, clean living.
I think so, and these guys have got good swings, and they've got good, still in great shape physically, and just a very inspiring performance by Dackert and Olson, as was the case with Scott Delano and John Ogilvie, who won the Tedesco Four Ball on Sunday over in Marblehead. We congratulate them as well, and it just gives us a lot to appreciate from the past week or two. The one fellow we haven't talked about who we must make at least give recognition to is Far Corners' Nick McLaughlin, the former St. John's Prep standout, former state individual champion, former two-time state junior champion, who lives in New Hampshire. He's a senior-to-be at the University of Virginia. Had a lot of problems last year competing with a bad back during the summer anyways and with some mononucleosis. McLaughlin came back this summer, Rick, as you know, and set a record by winning five significant tournaments in Massachusetts, actually in New England, including back-to-back weeks, the Mass Amateur and the New England Amateur, which got him a very nice mention this past week, actually in the current issue of Sports Illustrated, in the Faces in the Crowd section.
Super, super.
And he just won this past week. He won his fifth tournament, which was a record for a Massachusetts Amateur, according to Becky Blazer, our very reliable director of communications at the MGA from Boxford. No one's ever won five major tournaments in 1 year amateur-wise, and Nick just did it by winning the state pub links last week. Now he's off to a little vacation with family, then back to school, and we'll see how he evolves at school, both with the fall and the spring seasons, and then see if he comes back to play more amateur golf next summer, or possibly turns pro.
There you go. And the next time you say, as you know, Rick, I'm going to try to remember that about Nick McLaughlin, because you kind of just sprinkle that in there. And every time you do that, I laugh, Gary. I really do. I try to keep up, but it ain't easy trying to keep up with you.
I'm trying just be as reliable, but sometimes a little surprising. And of course, the thing with McLaughlin is he's from New Hampshire. He plays at a Portsmouth, but he also plays at a Far Corner to have his Massachusetts credentials, and he's given Far Corner up in Boxford, you know, Bill Flynn's Far Corner golf course, run by his son Bobby and John O'Connor, who just finished third in the New England PGA Seniors last week, I should mention. A lot of nice recognition. Nick practices up there somewhat and plays an occasional round up there, but it's just great recognition. He's one of our North Shore boys, and we hope he continues that way.
Absolutely. That's super, Gary. Great coverage. Now, can you tell us or give us a little preview, perhaps, of what's coming up this weekend in your golf column in the Salem News?
Well, we might go back in history a little bit. You know, I'm a golf historian, and This is the 35th anniversary of two very, very significant events that took place on the North Shore in 1980. That's about as far as I'm going to go. One was an individual performance, and I'll tell you, it was at a Salem Country Club, and the other was the beginning of a very significant tournament that was held at Ferncroft for 11 years. So that's as far as I'll go with a little bit of a tease. But read all about it in the Salem News on Friday, and thanks for the shameless plug, as always, Rick.
Always, Gary. You know, good stuff. And a quick story. I'm teaching teachers this summer for the Northeast Consortium for Staff Development, and I had a Wakefield teacher in my class who had played golf recently with Bobby Orr. Steve was in a twosome with his friend. Bobby Orr and another friend came up behind them and asked if they could join them to make it a foursome. They had two golf carts. So I guess Orr's friend and Steve's friend hit off to the left. Orr and Steve hit off to the right. So Bobby Orr said to this guy, Steve, he said, well, I guess you're with me. And he threw Steve in his golf cart, and they went off and played golf. Not bad.
That's not bad. That sounds like Bobby Orr, and you know, one of the greatest hockey player of all time and one of the greatest gentlemen and humanitarians of all time. Great story.
Yeah, did you meet Bobby? Because I know you've covered so many guys. Did you ever get a chance to cover Bobby Orr?
I did. I covered the 72 Stanley Cup Finals for the Salem News, because they beat the Rangers in six games to win their second and three. We thought that would be the second of many.
Yep.
In the 70s, wrong. Then a few years later, I ran into Bobby, bumped into him, over at Happy Valley, now Larry Gannon Golf Course. And Lynn, he was playing in a charity tournament, a fundraiser for a former Lynn police officer who had been killed in the line of duty.
Yep.
I want to say it was Paul Cavanaugh. That name comes up for some reason. And Bobby gave me about a half an hour that day. We did a piece. It was in the it was a cover story in a publication called New England Golf Magazine that didn't last too many years. But Bobby's just great with anybody and everybody, and he's just the best, as you know. And they'll never come any better than him as a person or as a player.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. The other part of the story was, I guess, this guy Steve was dumbstruck for the first three holes they played and didn't say anything. And Orr asked the guy, he said, have I done something wrong? What, did I get something to anger you? And Steve, who's about 6'5", he looks at Orr and he says, you don't understand. I'm playing golf with Bobby Orr. And then Orr says, hey, look, you're not very good and I'm not very good. So we've got that in common.
That's great. That's classic Orr again.
Isn't that? He just makes you feel so at ease, I guess.
He makes you feel like you're his best friend over a course of many years. The thing about Orr, though, he's always had trouble playing golf. He loves the game. He'll play it till he can't walk or he's take a cart. But, of course, with his badly damaged knees, it makes it very difficult for him to move around the golf course. But even to swing at the ball, he's developed a good, unique, you know, his customized swing on his own. But it's been frustrating for Bobby. He knows he could have been a much better player than he had the chance to be once he retired. I think he was a member at Weston. I think he's a member down on the Cape at one of the nice courses down there. Can I take a chance to asking you what golf course they were playing?
Oh, God, no, I can't remember. I will be seeing this guy next week. I'll find out.
But Bobby's the kind of guy who would play. He may be a member at some exclusive clubs like Weston and Oyster Harbors or someplace down the Cape, but he'll have just as much fun and be just a regular guy, whether he was playing a public course here on the North Shore, a 9-hole or an 18-hole or one of those five-star courses. That's just classic Bobby. You'll love it.
I'm pretty sure it was a public course, because this guy's a teacher and he's not in any club or anything like that. Gary, one last question. I know we've talked a while and I don't want to keep you in, but you know, you mentioned knees, and that's one thing we've never talked about with golf. And this sounds stupid, and I don't mean to ask it stupidly, but how important are your knees in golf?
Oh, really, really, you know, starts with your shoulders. You got to turn your shoulders a little bit with your swing. It goes down. It's really a chain reaction. You got to turn those hips a little bit. And then, of course, if you've got to get the legs in a good physical condition, you're going to try to switch your weight as you're taking that swing from. The weight goes from your left side back to your right side as you bring the club back, and then as you bring the club down, this is assuming you're a right-hander, of course, like most golfers, you're going to shift that weight back from your right side, from your right leg to your left leg. And you watch some of these guys when they play the PGA this weekend, or almost all of them, watch them the way they turn their shoulders, they turn their hips, and they move that, shift their weight from the left leg to the right leg, and then bring it, when they bring the club down, they really whip it through, and they get a lot of extra distance with all these body parts moving.
Yeah.
That includes you need that knee action as well.
I'm going to watch that this time because I always, you're right, I watch the upper body, then you see the ball hit and you follow the ball, not so much the follow through on the motion of the body, but I'm going to pay attention to that. Gary, thanks so much for taking the time out tonight and catching us up, and we'll check in with you next week.
I look forward to it, Rick.
Awesome, Gary. Take care.
Thanks. Take care.
Gary Larrabee, who is a sports writer and a sports historian, writing features now for the Salem News, longtime sports writer for the Salem News, and... you know, he knows everything there is to know about golf writing and golf sports, of course. But
morestuffonline.com.
Thank you very much. Golf coverage, I should say, but knows a lot about other sports too. We'll be right back.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
It's team decided. The best pizza in Lynn is Mandy's Pizza on Goodrich Street, right across from Lynn English High School. Satisfying pizza lovers since 1962. Stop in or enjoy express delivery in Lynn and Swampscott. Go online and check out mandyspizza.com or call 781-599-6000.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber, and I want to speak to you today about our kitchen cabinet department. Many of our customers tell us how much they appreciate browsing in our showroom, in which there are 25 kitchens displayed. They're also very complimentary of our sales staff. Denise, Randy, Steve, and Mike are four of a kind that's hard to beat. Please visit our kitchen cabinet showroom. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly, or moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
North Shore Bank.
Hey, look, free lemonade.
Hey, sweetie, can we have two free lemonades?
Sure. Would you like me to pour it? Here's just a small pouring fee of 50 cents.
Okay.
And it's just 25 cents more to have it chilled.
But the sign says free lemonade.
But you should really read the fine print.
Does it seem like your bank's checking accounts have all sorts of hidden fees? At North Shore Bank, we think checking should be sweet and easy, like sipping lemonade. That's why we offer checking accounts that work for you, without the customer service issues and hidden fees of a big bank. So if you're looking for a local community bank, call us today at 877-712-7000 or visit us online at www.northshore-bank.com.
North Shore Bank. North of your expectations.
Do you want me to smile while I pour?
Member FDIC, member SIF.
All right, we're back, and joining us now is Marblehead Athletic Director Mark Tarmey, Marblehead High School's Mark Tarmey. And Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Rick. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Oh, great to talk with you, and you know, it's been a while. I think we talked with you. It was either late winter or early spring, and you were just getting back into the routine, and Marblehead High School, another great year. You guys had a super spring as well.
Yeah, we did. We had a great year last year. I think we were speaking late last winter about our winter and fall seasons, and we had a great spring season where, again, every one of our teams qualified for the state tournament and the MIAA tournament the last spring. So it was a great year, and we're looking forward to another great one this year.
Mark, you said every one of your teams, and that's a little intimidating. At one time, Marblehead was one of the smallest schools around, but you've got some pretty good numbers over there now, and I'm guessing that the participation numbers are pretty good, too.
Yeah, we have about 1,100 students, and we have close to about 750, 760 student-athletes. So our participation rate is somewhere around 70%.
Wow.
And we have an awful lot. I think we spoke before last year. Not only do we have a large participation rate, we have an awful lot of multi-sport athletes, a lot of two- and three-sport athletes. So you know, we have some very, very, very big rosters, which is great for the school, great for the school spirit, great for the school as a whole. So
absolutely.
It really works out very well.
You know, I was reading the Boston Globe, the Sunday Globe North yesterday about the Hockey Night in Boston tournament and the public's Frank Pagliuca of St. Mary's is coaching it, and he was talking about kids being multi-sports athletes, and some of these athletes are just tuned in to try to specialize in one thing. But as a high school educator, you guys and your coaches pretty much do encourage multiple sports, do you not?
Yeah, we do. You take a look at the guys, at Marblehead, the guys and the young women at Marblehead who have gone on to play college sports. You take a look at a guy like Jake Kulovich, who's playing hockey at Colgate University, who just happened to also this past summer attend rookie camps for the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Jake was a three-sport football, hockey, and baseball athlete. You take a look at guys like Brooks Terrell. I mean, we all know about Brooks Terrell and his exploits on the football field, as well as the lacrosse field. He's an outstanding high school football player. He's going to Notre Dame to play lacrosse. Guys like Spencer Craig, who was the Salem News Scholar Athlete of the Year, was a great basketball and football player at Marblehead High School. On the girls' side, we have a whole slew of young women that are off playing sports. Cassie Rogers plays lacrosse up at Colby, and she was a soccer captain, and she played basketball, and she played obviously lacrosse, a whole number.
Mm-hmm.
That played. Haley Braun just finished her career at Hobart. She was our soccer captain, all league player. She was the Boston Globe Skier of the Year.
Mm.
And she went off and she was had a great college career in lacrosse at Hobart, William Smith. So. We really have a lot of great two and three sport athletes, and we encourage that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I had a question, and I just totally lost it. But I know your girls' hockey team was very active with us. We got all the scores and all the write ups after every single game, win, lose, or draw. And now, are they a co-op? They have they have other schools with them.
Yeah, we've got an additional co-op, additional school this year. Girls' hockey is kind of funny. A number of girls, especially from towns of opportunity, tend to go off to private school. And mm-hmm. We've had a number of girls who have had some great opportunities to go off to private schools. We have a girl that's, playing at Phillips. A girl that just got out, Eliza Quigley, who just graduated from Phillips Andover. She's going to Williams. And we've got a girl that's at Governors. We have some girls that are at Brooks. So, we do lose girls through the private schools, so we have to always try to find a way to supplement our program. So we have a co-op program in place already with Swampscott. That's been going for a dozen years. We brought Manchester Essex into the fold a couple of years ago, and our numbers are kind of small again. They're shrinking a little bit. So this past year, Craig Giraldo and I from Hamilton Wenham, we worked out a deal. So Hamilton Wenham will be joining our girls' co-op.
Okay.
So that's really nice. So,
yeah.
The girls get along great, so it's Hamilton, Wenham, Manchester Essex, Marblehead, and Swampscott. We'll have about 17 or 18 girls from those four.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
It is good. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Hamilton, Wenham was part of the Masconomet co-op, and Masconomet is growing girls' hockey. So they're really, the numbers were really, really burgeoning at Masconomet. So it kind of worked out very well for Hamilton, Wenham to come with us, and therefore Masco can fill their whole roster. And we can fill our whole roster, so it keeps a lot of girls playing high school hockey.
Yeah, I talked with Craig last week, and their programs are growing as they get bigger, as some of the other schools like Gloucester get smaller. But no matter what, there's still good participation all the way around. Mark, what are you what are you doing right now? Because you've got a couple weeks. I know football starts, and are you back in the building now, getting ready, or are you getting ready to get ready?
Yeah, I've been there all summer. Working just about every day. We've got a lot to do. Ordering equipment, making sure, uniforms are ready to go and equipment's ready to go. Our budget season begins on July 1st, so that's when all the funds are released. So we have to kind of get in and plan our year out, whether it's transportation or whether it's coaching stipends, whether it's, contracted services or rentals at Salem State College or at the YMCA or, ski rentals or whatever for mm-hmm. Blue Hills or things of that nature. And just basic scheduling, it's kind of tough this year. We get some good things going on, but the good things that are going on are creating a little bit of a problem, an issue. We're very, very fortunate. You may recall 2 years ago, the Marblehead All Sports Foundation, a group of private citizens raised $875,000 to install a turf field at Marblehead High School.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great, great project, and it's really benefited all of our programs. This past year, the All Sports Foundation did another great thing. They raised $575,000 to install a new track.
Wow.
At the Susan Redfield Memorial Track, which was, you know, about 30 years old, was one of the worst, you know, track facilities on the North Shore because of its age, because of its wear and tear. So it's really cool that we can, you know, rebuild the track, modern state-of-the-art track in Susan Redfield, who was a legendary track coach here at Marblehead for years, in her name. So with that new project going on, we have to kind of be on top of what's going on with that over the summertime. So there's a lot of work with that right now. But also, that field that is that the track will surround is shut down while it's a construction project. So we have a lot of juggling we have to do from that grass soccer field. It's used for soccer. It's used for youth football. It's used for sub-varsity football. So we have to kind of find a place to play those games while construction's going on. So it creates some headaches for scheduling. So we're doing a lot of that, too. So.
Talking with Mark Tarmey, who's the athletic director at Marblehead High School, and I talked with Henry Christensen, who is the media director at Marblehead High School a couple of weeks ago, Mark, and I said, you know, as soon as you guys get a press box in up there, we can start doing your games on the radio. And Henry said he's going to be able to give us, not give us, but lend us a student during hockey season when we have games over at Salem State, who'll be able to shoot video for us. So I'm looking forward to working with that, you know, when Marblehead plays over there.
Well, that would be great. You know, Henry's a great guy. He's got, you know, he runs a studio production class and a video production class. And the kids, you know, are really into it. They make movies. They make documentaries. They film games, you know, for various number of sports. So it's really nice to have inside of the school. And a lot of our coaches have taken advantage of it. And as you know, nowadays, all the student athletes now use a program called Huddle, H-U-D-L, which is a software package which allows you to upload all of your game tapes and all of your videos to be used for college recruiting. So a lot of the kids that come in with Henry that videotape games, produce games, can pass that information on to our student athletes, and the student athletes can upload that video onto their Huddle page, and therefore market themselves to college coaches out there.
It's unbelievable. It really is. So are you a digital native or digital immigrant like me?
A little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I spent a number of years teaching computer science years and years ago. So I can teach myself, but I've got a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old, so when I have problems, I go to them.
There you go.
My own.
Yeah, my daughter's a junior this year, and we were almost shut down for a couple of months because I had to get a new server, and my IT guy is sort of retired, so I had to learn all this stuff myself, and the learning curve has not been easy, so that took all my time trying to figure out how to borrow code and do this and do that, but the kids, it's second nature to them.
It is. That's why I just handed to my 14-year-old.
There you go.
And here we go. The problem is solved in 8 seconds.
All right, Mark, school, now when does preseason or practices actually begin?
Well, football, MIAA football season practices can begin on Monday, August 24th, with 3 days of non-contact drills. And all other ball sports begin on Thursday, August 27th.
Okay, so it's right around the corner. Mark, can I call you from time to time during the season and just check in on Marblehead?
That sounds great. Give me a call, send me an email, and we're always glad to talk about Marblehead or the Northeastern Conference and what's going on. Anything, whenever you like to have us on, we'd love to come on. You can call our coaches. If you want to get a hold of our coaches and you can't get a hold of them, contact me, and I can put you in touch with them, and I know they love to come on and talk about their athletes and their programs.
Absolutely, and you have a terrific series of programs and student-athletes over there at the high school, and wish you all the best, and enjoy the what time off you can, I guess, because it's going to be a full-tilt boogie from now on.
Sure will be. Okay, Rick, it was great to talk to you. And,
thanks a lot, Mark.
Keep up the great work.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is Mark Tarmey, who is the athletic director at Marble High School, and he is back at it full-time after a little bit of a health scare last year, and he sounds great, and from all accounts, doing very well and enjoying things. And Marblehead now, maybe, I don't know if it's the biggest high school attendance-wise in the conference, but it's I think it's one of the top three anyway. Marblehead is right up there with Peabody and Classical and English. It's a very big school now, whereas Gloucester, which used to be up at the top, is In the bottom four, the schools that are smaller than Gloucester, I guess, are Winthrop, Saugus, and Swampscott. Winthrop, Saugus, Swampscott, and Gloucester. Gloucester is the fourth smallest. Pretty amazing. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we will be checking in with Gloucester Times Sports Editor Nick Kukuru, and that'll be followed by Scott Cooper of Wicked Local. You're listening to More Stuff Online. Actually, it's MSO News Radio. MSO News Radio. This is North Shore Sports Night.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastown, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
North Shore Bank.
Hey, look, free lemonade.
Hey, sweetie, can we have two free lemonades?
Sure. Would you like me to pour it? There's just a small pouring fee of 50 cents.
Okay.
And just 25 cents more to have it chilled.
But the sign says free lemonade.
But you should really read the fine print.
Does it seem like your bank's checking accounts have all sorts of hidden fees? At North Shore Bank, we think checking should be sweet and easy, like sipping lemonade. That's why we offer checking accounts that work for you, without the customer service issues and hidden fees of a big bank. So if you're looking for a local community bank, call us today at 877-712-7000 or visit us online at www.northshore-bank.com.
North Shore Bank. North of your expectation.
Do you want me to smile while I pour?
Member FDIC, member SIF.
Okay, we're back, and joining us now is Gloucester Times Sports Editor Nick Kukuru. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. How you doing?
Excellent, thanks.
Very good, very good. So much going on, and as I said last week, you know, you'd think this would be a downtime, but it is not.
No.
You know, I called to talk to you about your Hall of Fame features, which I think have been spectacular, but Dory Race is going on tonight?
Yes, yeah, we had the men's final tonight. Eric Dombrowski and Glenn Harrington picked up a nice win. I'd say, from my vantage point on the beach, about three boats.
Okay.
I know the other crew there was John Francis and Brian Sanborn had a little trouble on the turn. And I think that might have been the difference. They either turned the wrong way or they had to really correct themselves and kind of cut, you know, in front of the flag and then turn it. There was a little, a little problem there. And I think that might have been the difference. Those two crews had identical times in Saturday's elimination. So,
yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, what's next, man? This is the International Dory Race tryouts, I guess, if you will. So what's next?
Yeah, so they'll now be going to Canada on the 23rd, to Lunenburg. So, you know, they came here in June over at the Fish Pier, and now the Gloucester guys and gals will go up to Canada on the 23rd to square off with them on their home turf.
Yeah, this has been going on for, what, 50, 60 years or more?
Yeah, 60-plus. I want to say it's like 61, 62 years.
Yeah. I remember the Heislers. Those are the only, that's the first name I remember, the Heisler brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, Nick, I do want to mention the reason I wanted to have you on tonight was your Hall of Fame features. And you're doing two a week, I presume?
Yes. There's four more weeks. So we'll probably do three. There's 11.
Okay.
Math was a little off. Sorry. I know.
I don't know who you had for math. Yeah. Well, okay.
There'll probably be three. The last one will probably be three.
All right. You started with Rusty Tucker. And by the way, I've seen the list, and you've had the list in the paper of the Hall of Fame inductees this year. And it's been 9 years since Gloucester High School had a Hall of Fame induction. And so a lot of names, of course, are not there that will be there eventually.
Yes.
But no one can complain with this year's selection.
Yeah, I mean, this year is absolutely stacked. And there are some that you know, just missed, you know, the cut this year that are for sure going to be in the coming years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this was a difficult one. There were so many great, you know, applicants this season. And, I mean, really couldn't go wrong with the nine that were chosen. I mean, they're all Hall of Famers. I mean,
absolutely.
They're all Hall of Famers.
Yeah, there's no question. And multi-sport athletes and so
yeah.
on. And you started with Rusty Tucker. Rusty and Jay Pratt, both former students of mine. Rusty, an absolute standout in baseball, multi-sport athlete. And Jay Pratt, a fantastic basketball player.
Yeah, I think, you know, Rusty, I know everyone kind of knows, you know, Rusty as a power pitcher, you know, mid-90s fastball, blows people away. But, I mean, he was really so much more than that. He was as good an outfielder as there was. He held, and see, I'm not sure if he still holds that record because of the amount of home runs that team hit last year, but he had the single-season home run record
mm-hmm.
for a while. And, I mean, he did it all. And he was a great hockey player, won a state championship in hockey. So, I mean, he was definitely a multi-sport athlete, and everyone knows his pitching, but he got it done everywhere. And, I mean, Jay Pratt was probably one of the best, if not the best, you know, pure shooter that we've seen at Gloucester High School, maybe ever.
Yeah, and again, nice kids and
yeah.
terrific adults. And Rusty Tucker is continuing his legacy right now. When was the game? Yesterday they mentioned
yes.
after beat Ipswich?
Yeah, he picked up a big
and
win of Mariners yesterday afternoon in Raleigh.
Yeah.
The Mariners are up 2-0 in that best-of-five series. But if you just look at last year, that doesn't mean much. Mariners were down 2-0 last year and come back and won the final three games of the series. So this one's far from over. And, you know, the good thing is, you know, when you've won so many championships, you know, those guys in the Mariners know that. They're well aware of that's not over yet, and I'm sure we'll see. You know, them bring their best on Wednesday night.
All right, now are you able to promote the guys you're going to feature this week, or we just have to wait till Thursday and Friday?
As of right now, I'm looking at Katie Taramina and John Pratt.
Oh my!
That's the plan unless something changes. But right now, I got those two all lined up and set to go.
All right, just in case anybody doesn't know who's listening from outside of Gloucester, John, of course, is Jay Pratt's twin brother, and Katie Taramina, Mizoraka. Is
yes.
Is continues to run today. She is.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me that I have to.
Okay.
refer to that in the paper.
She is, and again, former students of mine. But Katie is a world class athlete to this day.
Yeah, I mean, look. I mean, how many women run the 12,000 women ran the Boston Marathon, and she finished 18th.
Yep. Yep.
So that, you really don't need to elaborate much more on that, but you can.
Nope.
She's a two-time. You know, top five finish in the all-state and cross-country. I mean, she got it done on the track. She's an all-time great as far as runners are concerned at Gloucester High School.
Well, I thought your first two articles were most excellent, Nick. And your research, are you digging out some of your grandfather's stuff? Is that how you're looking at some of the stuff?
Yeah, some of it. And, you know, luckily, the people who sent in the applications as well, very extensive and thorough.
Okay.
So I have a lot of information there to work with, too. And, yeah, and when in doubt, I can always go to those multiple loose-leaf binders that I have in my...
There you go.
Dating back as long as they can go.
Yeah, and some interesting quote from the athletes, too. It's great to hear what they have to say about their younger selves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a different look. Well, Nick, anything else you want to mention before I let you go?
That covers it. I mean, you know, we got two more of those coming up this week, and yeah, they should be interesting. I mean, these are, you know, a lot of fun to put together. I like, you know, putting stuff like that together, just kind of, you know, going through all the great stuff that these athletes did.
Absolutely. All right, and we're going to talk preseason football in a couple of weeks, too.
Absolutely. Sounds great.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks a lot.
Talk to you later.
Yeah.
That's Nick Kukru, who is the Gloucester Times sports editor. All right, one more break. We'll come back and talk with Scott Cooper, who covers Marblehead and Swampscott for the Daily Locals up there. And why didn't that thing check? I don't understand this. Hold on. I want to try to do something here. I just want to check something on the my computer. Oh, there it is. It switched now. Okay. All right. Well, again, I'm on a tremendous learning curve here. Okay, let me see if I can punch up a little music, and then we'll come back with Scott Cooper.
The North Shore Student Athlete Program has a new website. It is NorthShoreStudentAthlete.com. You can navigate to that website from our website by simply clicking on the link to the right on MoreStuffOnline.com. All the information to nominate student athletes is right there.
It's a great program combining academics and athletics. Monthly winners, a yearly winner. Check it out and support the North Shore Student Athlete Program at NorthShoreStudentAthlete.com.
Okay, we're back, and joining us now is Wicked Local Scott Cooper, who covers primarily Swampscott and Marblehead, but a whole bunch of other stuff as well. Scott, how's your summer going?
Not too bad, Rick. A lot of baseball.
A lot of baseball. Little League or other?
Well, yeah, I did some Little League. I did the Swampscott All-Stars, the Saugus All-Stars, and Lynn Babe Ruth, the senior Babe Ruth team with Swampscott kids, Nahant kids, and Lynn kids. And right now I'm doing, heading out to a game actually when I'm done talking to you, heading up the street to see the Swampscott Sox take on the Kingston Night Owls in the North Shore Baseball League playoffs.
What age group is that?
You have to be 18 to be in the league, so Swampscott Sox have some kids. Ryan January plays for them. Corey Carmody, who graduated a year or two ago for Swampscott, but it's college and up, 18 and over pretty much. There's some older guys in there. Joe Caponegro is the manager. He's the coach over Lynn English, so he's got a couple of his Lynn English kids on the team, graduates from Lynn English, and a bunch of Swampscott alumni are on that team, too.
That sounds like competitive baseball.
Yeah, they've got quite a few teams. Obviously, the Kingston team is from New Hampshire, and they beat Swampscott Sox, beat the North Shore Storm, which is basically Peabody kids, Peabody and Salem kids, a couple of Beverly kids. They beat them last week of the opening round. So they've been doing it since the 1800s, this North Shore Baseball League. So it's a pretty good brand of baseball.
Wow, that's cool. Now, Scott, when I got a hold of you, we haven't talked in a while, and there's a reason for that. I just talked with Mark Tarmey over at Marblehead High School, and we've been out of the loop for a while. I have in particular because I've been trying to learn. It's been a long learning curve for me, learning how to do live streaming video, learning how to use the encoder, learning how to set up my own website, learning some code, and putting this all together. But the good news is that Bill Newell has retired from education, and he's putting in a lot more time with us. So, you know, we're going to have, I think, a really spectacular school year this year with sports. But getting back to you and getting a hold of you, you sent back an email that really piqued my interest, and I'd like to know what it was about. It's called the 9th Annual Challenger Day Games that you covered, and it looks like it's really something special.
Well, they had their 9th annual game yesterday. Challenger Baseball is for kids, special needs kids, so they get a chance to participate in baseball. And what they did yesterday, it's part of the Malden Invitational Tournament. Medford Invitational Tournament. It was run in Medford for 6 years, and the last 3 years, including yesterday, Sunday, it's been run in Malden. Okay, and what they do is it started out with about a handful of kids, 20, 25 kids with special needs, a lot of volunteers. They get to play baseball. You know, some of these kids are in wheelchairs, and, you know, they really have a tough time, but they're out on the field. They play baseball. They get to go up and hit. They get to run the bases, and it's really, really a good time. A lot of special people help out, and a lot of special kids get to play ball. They had close to 80 kids yesterday, so they had about 40 kids in the field, and 40 kids come up to bat, and then they switch. So it's a nice event. They get food. Wally the Green Monster was there. They had the color guard, the Coast Guard color guard, the Malden Fire Department, the Malden Police Department, and the folks over at the Malden Irish American Club adjacent to Bruce Field in Malden help out. They're giving them a home base. And a lot of kids who are, I spoke to some little girls from Lynn, spoke to some kids from Salem, from Methuen, from Billerica, Malden, Medford, and all around the North Shore. They got a chance to participate yesterday, so it was really was a good time.
I'm so glad you did that, Scott, because we take for granted so much, and watching these high school athletes in varsity games and how talented they are, and for some of them how easy they actually have it, and then you cover something like that and you see the sheer joy that something like just swinging a bat is for some of these kids.
Yeah, but it just believe me, your problems are minuscule compared to some of the problems that these kids face.
I got you. Was it a good turnout? Did a lot of people show up?
Yep. Well, last year, for the 8th one, they had about 62 kids, 63, and this year they had 77, 68 kids. So from the first year with 20, 25, almost up to 80, it's getting bigger and bigger. and more people are helping out. And it's just a great thing. And they're going to do it again next year. And I wish them all the best. It's part of the Medford Invitational Tournament and Challenger League Baseball.
Okay, now do you have coverage of that in one of the papers?
That's going to be coming out in the paper, and I can certainly forward that over to you. It's going to be in the Medford and the Malden paper. Hopefully it'll be up online by tomorrow, I believe.
Yeah, well, I want to let everybody know where to look for it, because I'm sure there'll be great pictures, and your article will be there as well, and we want to see that.
I took a few pictures with the mayor's aide. I met the mayor of Medford and the mayor of Malden, and the mayor's aide from Malden was taking some shots because my photography skills are a little lacking, but I did... I put them up on my Facebook page, and hopefully they'll have my pictures and some more pictures from the mayor's office up too.
It's a good thing you did, Scott, a very good thing, and I hope, I'm going to ask you to make a little note of that. Maybe maybe we can help you out with that next year and do something and help you cover it.
Yeah, that'd be great, Rick, because I know they do other events too around the area because it's part of, you know, the Challenger baseball program that they have, helping special need kids all, you know, all over the place. It's just this one happened to be in Malden after running in Medford for several years, and I'm sure they're going to do it again because the tournament is growing and growing and growing.
Excellent.
And I'll get you some more information on that.
That'd be great. All right, Scott, we're going to call you next week, probably in the week after, as we get ready for football and map out a schedule here and get into it.
Well, Pop Warner started today, Rick. You know where my house is. The kids are out there today, Pop Warner, and I believe the high school starts in a couple of days, but Pop Warner was in full force. At about 200 kids out in the field today of all ages getting ready for the Pop Warner season.
And so it goes. All right, Scott. We'll talk to you next week, all right? I'll give you a call. And in the meantime, thanks so much for that. That was just a great story. I appreciate it, Scott.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Take care. I'll speak to you soon.
Very good. Talk to you later. That's Scott Cooper, who writes for Wicked Local, and just a very, very inspiring story and a great story about the Malden Invitational, the Medford Invitational Tournament, 9th Annual Challenger Day at Bruce Field in Malden, which was held yesterday, and next year we will get advance notice on that and make sure that we publicize that and hopefully go cover that as well. Well, that was a fast hour. My goodness, I appreciate your being along here. Tim Kearns is hopefully back with us next week. Our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and Bill Newell will be with us too. Bill getting ready for football season. He's going to cover... many, many games for us, as he always does with Tim Kearns. Paul Ingram will be with me for our football games. Andrew Nicastro, our streamographer, will be doing our live streaming videos on Fridays and Saturdays as we cover Northeastern Conference football and other sports, too. We're not going to leave out the other sports. No, we're not. We're going to cover them, okay? Yes. All right. Okay, so that's that. Take care of it. That's it for now. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
This is NSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.